Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com. The following program has been brought to you by Cane Vineyard and Winery. Cane Vineyard and Winery supports Heritage Radio and the growing movement to change how Americans eat and how we think about our planet. For more information, visit www.cane5.com.
You're listening to Cutting the Curd, hosted by Ann Saxelby. You're listening to Cutting the Curd, hosted by Ann Saxelby. You're listening to Cutting the Curd, hosted by Ann Saxelby, broadcast live to the cosmos on the Heritage Radio Network.
Welcome to another episode of Cutting the Curd on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Ann Saxelby. My co-host and producer is Sophie Schlesinger.
Hello.
And today we are going to be talking, we're going to be continuing actually our State of Cheese series, which we kind of have
had a little break.
Yeah, we were exploring some different stuff. But I think it's really appropriate that we're back to the State of Cheese because October is American Cheese Month.
Sure is.
The first ever American Cheese Month. The American Cheese Society actually designated that. And it's been made official by at least one state. The governor of Colorado has proclaimed it official.
So you know it's real. Yeah.
So there are a bunch of great things going on for American Cheese Month. Here in New York City, there is actually a passport program happening where 11 different stores are participating. You can go to each of those stores, purchase an American Cheese Month passport for $10. The $10 is donated to the American Cheese Education Fund, which is a sister organization to the American Cheese Society. And then that passport entitles you to a 40% discount on the cheese of the day. And each shop is going to be featuring a different cheese for every day during the month of October. So it's a great way to try new cheeses or get some great cheese at a steal for a dinner party.
Yeah.
You can find out who's participating at cheesemonth.com. And you can find out more about American Cheese Month and events all around the country at americancheesemonth.org, which is a site run by the American Cheese Society.
And if you're on Twitter, it's a hashtag AmCheeseMonth, AmCheeseMonth. You can see what everyone's up to.
Cool. Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff happening. So we are going to lead off our show on the State of Cheese in Missouri, talking with the ladies of Green Dirt Farm. I believe we have Jacqueline Smith on the line with us.
Yes, I'm here. Thanks for having us.
Oh, thanks for being on the show. Is Sarah on the line as well?
Yes, I'm here too. Thanks a lot.
Welcome.
Thank you guys for being on the show.
Absolutely.
So can you tell us a little bit about Green Dirt Farm, where you guys are located, and how you guys got started?
Sure. Well, we're in the northwest part of the state, a little bit north of Kansas City, and we're a 100% grass-fed sheep dairy. We raise dairy sheep, obviously. We milk them here at the farm, and we make cheese. And Jackie manages the farm side, and I'm the cheesemaker.
Fantastic.
Sarah, by the way.
And so how did you begin, this endeavor to have the farm and decide to become farmers and cheesemakers?
Well, Sarah and I, we became friends about 13 years ago. We had a lot of the same interests of wanting to become farmers, and we knew that if we were going to do any kind of a farming operation, we wanted to really focus on becoming a dairy. And when we started investigating it a lot, we realized that sheep make such wonderful cheese, and there's not really a huge market for sheep milk in the United States right now. We wanted to kind of be leaders of that and bringing in the grass-fed aspects of it, too. So we decided that we were going to build a sheep dairy. So when we got started with about 20 Dorset ewes, and we actually tried to milk those Dorset ewes. And Dorsets are not milk sheep whatsoever. but we had this one head gate, and we milked them by hand one summer, and we took that milk back to our cheese or our kitchens in our house, and we started to explore the possibilities of making cheese and what that would kind of mean. And that was in 2000, I believe, when we started to really plan the business structure. And from 2000 until about 2008, we just practiced cheese making. We practiced learning how to farm. We learned how to be businesswomen. We learned how to grease the tractor. We learned all the essential things that needed to go into running a farm, a dairy, and a cheese making operation. And then in 2008, we actually became a licensed facility in Missouri and were able to start selling our cheese throughout the United States. And so that was a really great accomplishment for us. And we're very proud and happy to be here now.
Absolutely. Well, so my first question is, you know, you just like rattled off all those things like, you know, oh, and then we learned to grease the tractor and we learned to make cheese. That's really amazing. Where did you learn this stuff? Who were your mentors, and did you go to cheese making workshops or schools, and how did it all kind of happen?
Well, for the farming side, we visited as many farms as we possibly could, and we talked to other dairy people and families about, you know, how their dairies ran, and we became part of the Dairy Sheep Association of North America, and they're a great organization to kind of mentor us in developing a dairy. And then as far as making cheese workshops, and we travel to Wisconsin often and take workshops to learn how to make cheese, and we also work with other cheesemakers and consultants to try to make the best product that we can. So, I mean, there's a lot of people who have supported us along the way, and we're so thankful to have that support.
And I think one of the things that you mentioned in that list is becoming, you know, business people, business women. If people take a look at your website, it's quite impressive, all of the different programs that you do. Why did you decide, you know, it was important to have multiple initiatives? And I just think that's really smart. And I'm wondering if you could talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, this is Sarah. We actually found pretty early on that many of our customers from the farmers markets really wanted to come up to the farm and see how we do things. And in thinking it through, we realized, well, that is a great way to educate people about our cheese and about farmstead cheese making in general. And so we began to have programs at the farm. We started with cheese tasting events and farm table dinners, which are these fabulous dinners where we have a local chef from Kansas City come up and create menus around what's fresh and what's local. And, of course, we always have our own farm ingredients on the menu, the cheeses and our lamb. And then our cheese appreciation events are our cheese tastings where we pair not just our own cheeses but other American artisanal cheeses with beers or wines or whatever beverages we think taste really great with those cheeses. And we talk about the cheeses. We talk about how they're made, what the flavors are in them, and where they're from and the farm practices that go into them, since we always try to really feature farmstead cheesemakers when possible. So,
and are you guys going to be doing any special events for American Cheese Month?
Well, I know that we're planning to talk about it on our Facebook page, and you know, we're doing we're hosting cheese appreciation event this month where we'll be talking about it and featuring you know, the idea of American Cheese Month, which we think is a really neat thing.
Yeah, it's fun. I'm really excited that they decided to do it, because it's just a good excuse, I feel like, for everybody to, you know, do whatever they feel like doing, but getting their communities involved. Well, another thing that I saw on the website that you guys do to get your community involved is you actually do cheese making classes.
Yeah, we do workshops a couple times a year. We have partnered with the Kansas City Culinary Center, which is this great place in Kansas City that is a kind of an event space plus a kitchen workshop, and they have a wonderful kitchen space with plenty of seating for people to sit down. And we have
partnered with them to do workshops, and we've done a couple workshops outside of that. Sometimes we go to private homes and do private workshops for people, and they have a group of friends come in for a gathering, and we talk about cheese making and kinds of cheeses that people can make at home, and what's easy to do, and we like to talk a lot about the science and the art of cheese making.
I think that's fantastic because I so many people are really interested in this. And like you said, the education piece, as you were talking about inviting people up from the farmer's market to the farm and then taking it one step further, actually letting people into the process, is just a really great way to sort of spread the curd.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we've had a great response. We're almost all of our events are sold out and many times months in advance. So we've been really pleased with the response. People are really hungry to have that, that contact with where their food is coming from right now, which has been a real boon to us as well.
Yeah, it seems like, 2008 seems like a real watershed year. We talked to a lot of cheesemakers, and it seems like a lot of people finally became licensed and ready to go in 2008.
Well, it took us many years to build up sort of the gumption to get, to overcome all the obstacles to really, building our dream.
Wow. And maybe I was wondering, too, if you could give like a, top five, top three kind of list for new cheesemakers and dairy farmers who are, hoping to maybe increase their programming or just getting started or something like that.
Well, Missouri, we've got some really great cheesemakers here in Missouri, and it's a state that is just starting to really develop some cheese, a cheese market here.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, in Kansas City area, there's not another cheese maker. There's one other Cal Dairy that's making some cheese in the Kansas City area, but as far as like up-and-coming cheese makers, they're kind of far and few in between. But we really like Beji Farms. I think that they've got some really great goat's cheese that they're making, and they're just kind of located close to St. Louis.
We're actually talking to them in about
just a few minutes. Yeah,
great. Yeah, they're coming up with some really fantastic cheeses. And then there's Goat's Beard Farm too. It's in central Missouri, and they've got a wonderful blue cheese that's just incredible. And they're another great cheesemaker that's in Missouri.
Are there any kind of is there an official Missouri Cheesemakers Association, or are there any events that you guys have banded together to do as cheesemakers, or is it still kind of too early on for that?
Well, we're working on that. We've been trying to develop a Cheesemakers Guild, but we're so small and there's so few of us right now that it's really hard to get, the kind of momentum going to keep an organization going. But we are working on it. We all know each other. We talk fairly regularly, and one of these days we're going to get something going.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
So where do you guys sell most of your cheese? I know I saw at least one place on your website, the Bad Seed Farmers Market, that looks very cool.
Yeah, it's a great little local farmers market for sure. But we really target direct customer sales as much as possible. We sell in the Kansas City area primarily as our focus group. But we attend five different farmers markets during the season. And so we're quite busy with cheese making, farming, and then going to the farmers market. And we sell to a lot of local restaurants and local specialty stores, but we are just now starting to expand our distribution, and we're in some places in St. Louis and Chicago and New York, too. So we are expanding, and then next year we will be milking more ewes and so have the capability of taking on more customers. So it's always such a great beginning of the season where we're looking at, how much production we actually think the ewes are going to be making, and then making those milestones in the production and taking on more customers and expanding. So,
all very exciting stuff. Well, unfortunately, we are out of time, but if people want to learn more about Green Dirt Farm, do you guys have a website or a place where people can go to learn more?
Absolutely. We have a website at greendirtfarm.com and a Facebook page, too.
So. Great.
Thanks so much for having us. We've enjoyed it.
Oh, no, thank you guys, and keep up the good work.
Thanks. Talk to you later.
All right. When we come back from our break, we will be talking with more Missouri cheesemakers.
Slumber time is coming soon. Rest your head on Mammy's breast while Daddy hums the tune. All the old folks.
folks were humming, banjos were strumming, and the soft breezes sigh, as in days long gone by. Oh, way down in Missouri, where I heard this melody when I was a little fellow on my mammy's knee. The old folks were humming, banjos were strumming, so sweet and low. Hush-a-bye, my baby, go to sleep on daddy's knee. Journey back to Dixieland and dreams again with me. Oh, it seems like your daddy was there once again, and the old folks were humming that same old refrain. Oh, way down in Missouri, when I heard this lullaby, while the stars were blinking and the moon was shining high, all the old folks were humming, the banjos were strumming, so sweet and low.
And with that lovely little lullaby, we are back on Cutting the Curd. Today, we are talking the state of cheese in Missouri.
Yes.
And our first guests were from Green Dirt Farm. Our second guest is Steve Bagey from Bagey Farms. And I apologize if I have mispronounced your name.
No, you have it just correct.
Oh my gosh, great. That is a great, that's great news. Well, I have to say, I know that your farm, you guys always win tons of awards at the American Cheese Society Conference each year, and I can almost feel the announcer's trepidation before they say the name of your farm because they don't want to mess it up.
Well, it has been butchered quite a bit. Yeah. We're used to it, but you did remarkably well.
Thanks. Well, having, Saxelby, I would get, Saxelberry and all kinds of inventive things over the years, so... Well, thank you so much for taking time to be on the show with us today.
My pleasure.
I was wondering if you could start off by telling our listeners a little bit about your farm and the types of cheese that you make.
Well, we're a small, very small farmstead creamery, and which means that we raise our own animals and make cheese from that. We mostly make French-style cheeses.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we make the fresh cheeses, and we call them Coeur de la Crème. That would mean heart of the cream, and they're in a heart shape.
Mm.
And we season them with, we have the plain, of course, and then we season them with organically grown herbs, and then also some with fruits. And I'll just name them off. We have a three pepper blend, which is red, white, and black peppercorns cracked fresh just before they're wrapped. We have a dill, garlic chive, and then we have a cranberry orange. We have a Bavarian lemon cream. We make a few seasonal ones, such as a vanilla lime. It has lime and fresh ground vanilla beans in it, and it tastes like a key lime pie. So we make that for the summer. And then we also have a couple for the fall, which would be a cranberry cinnamon and also a pumpkin walnut.
They're making me hungry.
Yeah, they're some of the sweeter ones are almost like eating a cheesecake. And they would be more dessert-type cheeses, and we give a lot of people recipes to incorporate them into their cooking. And then we also make several types of aged cheese. We make a few washed rind cheeses. One we call Fleur de Valais. That would mean flower of the valley. And that is basically a Reblochon recipe that is about an inch and a quarter thick and about 5 inches in diameter. And it's aged approximately 40 days.
And that one seems like it would sort of pay a little bit of homage to the area where your farm is located. I read on your website that the farm or the area of Missouri where you guys are located was originally settled by French people.
Yes. The French came down from Quebec down the Mississippi, and I'm not exactly sure the year. It was in the later 1600s, I believe. But St. Genevieve, the town of St. Genevieve, was incorporated as a city in 1735. And there is a lot of historic French architecture. We have a lot of log buildings that have vertical logs instead of horizontal logs. And there's a, I don't remember the type of truss system, but they have a special truss system for the roofs that was directly from, you know, the old world.
That's pretty unbelievable because, I mean, I feel like the rest of the Midwest was settled more in, like, the mid-1800s.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty remarkable. I myself grew up in Illinois, but I never knew about that that heritage and that history.
Yeah, there's an island in the river just south of town called Kaskaskia Island, and it was originally part of Illinois, and in the flood of 1811, it was cut off. The river changed course, and now that part of Illinois is closer to the Missouri side, but it's an island, and the King of France had given them a bell to this church. It was a Catholic church there, and I believe it was 1649, something like that, that was dated on the bell, and it's still there today. It's kind of interesting.
Wow. Yeah, incredible, incredible history. So how did you get started making cheese? Were you a farmer by background, or did you come to cheese from a different route?
Well, we had a small farm in Illinois, and we had basically grown all our own food. My wife would can just an immense amount of jars of fruits and vegetables and even meats, and sometimes milk, and put it up for the winter. And we raised all our own, you know, pork and sheep and goats and hogs and, you know, everything, chickens and turkeys. And we had everything but dairy, basically. And she wanted a cow, and we didn't need that much milk, so she came home with a goat. And it kind of grew from there, and we ended up with a few cows. But finally the goats won out, and and now we're so busy we don't raise chickens or anything. It's just goats.
Wow. So the goats, the cheese business side of things seems like it's just going really, really well.
It had gone really well. In the beginning, she started making yogurts and things like that, and some of the simpler cheeses. And then my wife's the type where she'll read books and just absorb all kinds of information, and started, you know, bringing in books from libraries, having them order in books from, you know, all over the place about these French cheeses and different cheeses from all over the world. And then we started going to the Vermont Institute for Artisan Cheese, and also up in Wisconsin to the University at River Falls, learning more and more about cheeses. And we got connected with a cheese consultant, Neville McNaughton. You may have heard of him.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
But he's guided us in a lot of ways also, and the cheeses have just progressed.
And when did you start making cheese as a licensed dairy?
Well, we moved to Missouri in 2005. Basically, it was just a couple of hours of a move. But started building our plant, got it finished in 2007, and we began in 2007.
Wow, that is phenomenal. And since then, I mean, the accolades that you guys have won is just is just incredible. I know the American Cheese Society once because I've attended a couple of the conferences, but can you tell our listeners about some of the other awards that your cheeses have won?
Okay, I'll try. I don't have a list in front of me. But, we did in 2009, we sent cheeses to the Canary Islands to the World Cheese Awards. And I believe that was the first time it was out of the UK. And we had won, I believe it was two bronze medals and a silver. And then last year, it was back in the UK, we had won, I believe, two gold and three bronze and a silver.
Wow. Congratulations. Yeah. That is just awesome. And so who are the lucky people who get to eat all of this cheese? Do you guys sell your cheeses only locally, or do you, what's your biggest market for your cheeses?
Okay. Our biggest market is St. Louis. It's on the eastern side of Missouri, right along the Mississippi River. And we do seven farmers markets every week.
Wow.
Then we supply a fairly large number of restaurants and country clubs. We also supply cheeses to several wineries. Down here in St. Genevieve County, there are quite a number of vineyards and wineries, and so almost all of them serve our cheese in their restaurants or sell it. And then we sell, at a lot, like I said, a lot of these farmers markets, and we really like that avenue because we can educate the consumer about the cheeses. Because,
yeah.
You know, some of the aged cheeses, the bloomy rinded cheeses and the washed rind cheeses, especially the bloomy rind ones, they're strange looking to most Americans.
Yeah.
A lot of Midwest people think cheese is supposed to be square and orange.
Right. And that's Wisconsin's fault. We love them,
yeah.
But that's their fault.
They turn their nose up, you know, and sometimes I'll tell them, you know what my job is? It's to turn a wrinkled up nose into a smile. And it's worked many times. But once we explain and educate them about the cheese, why it looks the way it does, and what you do with it, how the cheese will progress through the aging process and gain in flavor or consistency, they're intrigued. And once it's in their mouth, they're hooked and they love it. And then from there, then they go to the stores and they buy it. They don't have to come to the farmers market. So those farmers markets are the springboard for sales in the stores. And it's been overwhelming. We generally sell everything that we can possibly produce. Like, say, last week we had a batch of aged cheese that is basically a Taleggio recipe. We call it a Cherbourg, and that is a washed rind cheese. We brought it out of aging in the morning on Wednesday, and by 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the whole lot of it was gone, and most of it never left the farm.
Wow. That is
great.
That is the stuff cheesemakers dream of.
Yeah,
we've been very blessed. We never dreamed that it would go this far, or you know, the cheeses would be recognized as well as they have been.
And do you have how many goats are you milking now, and do you have plans to expand, or do you feel happy with the size of your farm?
Well, we milk 50, around 50. That's enough work. I put in a lot of hours.
Yeah, I can only imagine.
We did expand our plant this year, or at least the building. And this, as the fall progresses, we're going to be working on finishing out the addition so that in the spring we will have the new section of the plant finished where we can expand our make space and aging. And we are thinking of possibly starting to buy in milk from some other producers. If we do that, that will kind of mess up our farmstead status.
But it could also really bolster the local farm economy, which is fantastic.
Yeah. And if we use milk other than goat's milk and just use only our goat's milk for cheeses, we can keep that as farmstead, those cheeses. And then anything else bringing in, you know, would just not be labeled farmstead. But
right.
That sounds like it would be a great plan if a great way to deal with the success that you've had. You know, you can help other farmers by buying their milk and maybe make some different cheeses than you would have been able to otherwise.
Yes.
Well, that is fantastic. Well, we are out of time, but I'm wondering if people want to learn more about your farm, can you tell us your website so they know which direction to go?
Sure. It would be www.bajefarms.com.
And Baje is spelled BAETJEfarms.com.
That's correct.
Well, wonderful. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us. And thank you and your wife for making such beautiful cheeses. Yeah. We are all in your debt.
Well, thank you. We're honored to be on your program.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening. And we'll be back next week with another episode of Cutting the Curd.
Bye.
Hosted by Ann Saxelby. You're listening to Cutting the Curd, hosted by Ann Saxelby. You're listening to Cutting the Curd, hosted by Ann Saxelby, broadcast live to the cosmos on the Heritage Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.
Listeners, we want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway, and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Alweli, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.